Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 33. That's where we'll be today. And you know, while I was prepping this, I had like five different sermons in mind, all like scattered throughout everywhere. And I was actually preparing another sermon when I got part of this sermon. So now a different sermon that I was going to use is now part of this sermon. So we're all over the place, but it'll work out. I think so. Well, I want to thank all the youth leaders, Joe, Mike, Ruben, and Tiffany, and Hilda for doing a great job, which you're seeing evidence of today, obviously, you know, doing great today. I think so. I would like to thank Pastor for allowing us to do this again. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to serve God up here in front of everybody and to, you know, just lead a service. And I think that's it. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to gather here and to just worship you all together, God. It truly is a blessing to just be here in the house of the Lord today. Flow through me, Lord, today, because I'm not very good at this, but you got this. You're going to carry. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So right here, you know, it's talking about how there are a bunch of people going with him and following him. But in the verses before, we see some context, and Jesus tells a parable about a man preparing a great feast, and he invites all these different people to come with him to the dinner. But they all begin to make excuses on why they can't come. I don't remember what excuses they made, but they made a bunch of them. And then they all begged for forgiveness instead, and were like, please excuse me, instead of actually coming to the dinner. And he actually, it tells three different times whether he when he invited them to a dinner, and they still didn't come all three of those times. And we all do this at different times, you know. Jesus is calling all of us to different things in life. You know, obviously the big one is heaven, but we all have different callings and different places that we're supposed to go. And we don't come, and we keep making these excuses when God is just telling us to go this way because he has a plan to change somebody's life. And eventually we have to submit. Because then we begin to lose the drive and the power that we need to operate in the way that God wants us to. And we begin to lose the fire inside that we need to keep going. Because this life brings a lot of challenges. It really does. Like, life gets hard. I've experienced a lot of that. And that's actually the reason that I came back to Christ. You know, I thank God that he sent those challenges. And then, you know, there are more and more that are coming. And I have to be prepared for that. And I have to submit to God because he's the only one that can get me through that. If you were here yesterday for the graduation, the guy that was speaking talked about the dunamis power and about how we have to have the endurance to keep going. But we only have that if we actually submit to God. We don't get that just for free. There's a cost for the power that we need to get through this life. And we need that. We really do. Because life is very hard without it. And we're going to learn the hard way if we don't submit. So we have to submit to God. And we have to actually do the things that he's telling us to do. Verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Obviously, Jesus is not telling us to like hate the people that are like family and stuff and the people that we care about. Jesus is not telling us to do that. This is hyperbole. And if you don't know what a hyperbole is, it's an exaggeration that is not meant to be taken literally. So when Jesus is saying that we are to like hate our father and mother and all these different people that he mentions, it's saying that the way that we love Jesus should make it look like we hate these people because we love Jesus so much that in comparison, it looks like we don't even care about these people. But in fact, we just love God so much that it seems like we care about them so little. Because we have to be willing to lay down everything. Abraham, when God told him to sacrifice his own son, obviously if you read that, you're like, oh my gosh, he's killing his own son. He must hate him. No, it's because God told him to. So it made him look like he hated his son, but in fact he loves God so much that even his son must come in submission to that. Everything must go under God. God must be above everything. And when something is above God, problems will begin to happen. Lost my place. He doesn't ask this of a disciple. It is a command. This is not an option. We have to put everything under God. Nothing else matters anymore above God. Nothing does. And whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We must take up our cross. This does not imply the struggles of life are the cross. Those are just struggles and those are trials. The cross that we must bear is ourselves because we are our own biggest issue, believe it or not. We must die to ourselves and our fleshly desires. And that's what I struggled with for a long time. I want to just submit. You know, Joe has been preaching in the youth about dying with Christ. We must die to ourselves. We must give up. We must just submit already. Like in the two verses before I was just talking about, we must just die already. Just give up. Just die. Because when you live, problems happen. And you're not strong enough to go through those on your own. We can't do it because we're not strong enough. We are human. We have fallen short. And when we sin, we lose out on that power that will get us through life. So the only way that we can get that power is by submitting to Jesus and dying to ourselves. Because when we die to ourselves, that's when Christ lives through us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. But in order for Christ to live in me, I must die first. We must die to ourselves. And when we finally die to ourselves, that is when Christ will begin to show through us. That doesn't mean that when we're not dead to ourselves, we are not saved. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we will begin to see the evidence that we are saved. We will begin to see We'll begin to see God move in our lives through us when we finally just die. We have to give up already. We have to stop trying to do our own thing because we suck at life, believe it or not. We're pretty bad at it. We had one job. Don't eat the apple. What do? We ate the apple. Don't just blame Adam and Eve because we all did it too. Satan offers us the little apple and we're like, oh man, that looks pretty good. But God told me not to eat it. What does God know? Let's just do it. We have to just die. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? So I watched this guy, and you know, he lives in Seattle. He's a Christian and stuff. And he's talking about how in Seattle, if you apply to a McDonald's, they actually give you $20 to apply. But when you're a Navy, if you're applying to be a Navy SEAL, it's much different. And this guy that works for the Special Forces, he got asked, what's the biggest difference between the people that actually get the job when they apply to be a Navy SEAL and the ones that don't? And what he said, he didn't say, like, their physical appearance, like, how strong they are. He didn't say anything about that. He said, the ones that count the cost, those are the ones that get the job. And it's the same thing with us as Christians. We must count the cost. There is a cost to being a Christian. It's not free. You have to... Like in the verse before, we must take up our cross. The cross signifies death. We must be willing to die for this. It is a real cause. It's not a little children's game. This is for real. This is real life. We have to die for this. Nothing else matters anymore when I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter what happens to me because I have to stand firm in Christ. Nothing matters anymore. Gotta stop getting off my notes. Keep losing my place. And I can confidently tell you that about at least 40% of Christians that when they become Christians don't actually count the cost. At least 40%, probably much higher. And then I would say that at least 60% of Christians now that are Christians have yet to still count the cost. There is a real cost. People don't understand what they got themselves into. They don't understand that this thing actually matters, that this thing has to be above everything else. Jesus is like all the way down here when he's supposed to be up here. Everything else is way above Jesus. And it's because they have yet to count the cost and yet to realize that Jesus is above everything else. Nothing else matters anymore. Everything else in life must be all the way down here, about my height, and Jesus must be all the way up here as far as, I don't even know, as far as you can imagine. And I love when it says at the end of this verse, where is it? Whether he have sufficient to finish it. We have gotten ourselves into something that we cannot finish because we don't submit. If you actually submit to God, you would realize that through him, you can actually finish this thing that you're getting yourselves into. But when you don't, you realize that you can't, because then God sends a little test to see if he can take you to the next level of your Christian life. But to get to the next level, you have to go through a test. It's like school. In order to get to the next grade, you have to pass these tests. So then when God sends the test, we can't get through it. And then we're all the way back to square one. We're all the way back to where we started. When just a year ago, we were like, I'm down for Jesus. It's all, Jesus is everything that matters. And then when the test comes, boom, we're right back to that same place of defeat. Preaching today. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul says he finished the race. He has fought the fight. And then this is another verse. For I am straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all your furtherance and joy of faith. That's Philippians 1:23-25. This shows us that Paul longs to see Christ. He wants to die only so that he can go to heaven. But while he's here, he's going to do the work that God has called him to do. He's doing what needs to be done for the reward before he gets the reward. Some of us are doing it the opposite way. It's like, God, I want the reward now. I want the reward now. I want to move on to the next level before the test. That's not how it works. We have to go through this all the way to get to the next level. We have to fight the good fight to get to heaven. We have to run the good race to get to heaven. We have to actually be down for this, submit to God, and get through everything that this life has to offer, everything that God is going to put us through, everything that we have to face to get our reward. We have to submit so that we can get through this. Verse 29 and 30. Lest happily after he laid the foundation is not able to finish it. All that, behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So what it's saying here is that the foundation may be laid. The foundation is the start of the build. When you make if you're making a skyscraper, you have to make the foundation first. But what happens if it's not laid correctly? What happens if the foundation was messed up? Then the whole thing is going to come crashing down. We're making the foundation wrong. Because we're building upon ourselves, thinking that we can get to the top when we're not strong enough to handle all the weights that this life is going to offer. We are the sand, God is the rock. The sand cannot handle all that weight. Because God wants to build us up and make us mighty men and women of God that are going to do mighty things for him. But we're not strong enough to carry that weight because it's a heavy weight. We have to be founded on the rock. We have to be founded on Jesus because he is the only one that can carry the weight. We are so bad we can't even carry the weight of what God wants to give us. We can't even hold what God wants to give us. God is the only one that can carry all that. We have to be founded on the right foundation. The foundation that can actually hold everything up. Let's see. So then, like I mentioned earlier, with the test, when the test come, because we're building up and we're doing pretty good so far, and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm such a great Christian. Then all of a sudden, God decides, all right, we'll see about that. Let me send a little test coming so I can really raise you up to that level that you think that you're already at. And then when that storm comes, we're already down. Just started and we're already done. We're already back to the same level at which we started it. We're back on our knees again like, God, what did I do wrong? It's because you weren't founded on the rock. And you tried to build yourself up to a place that you can't carry. You have to be founded on the rock. Because I want to do great things for God. But I can't do it if I build upon myself. I have to be founded on the rock. Let's see. Let's move on. Oops. I'm already making this. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he will be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? The definition of consult is to seek information or advice for someone in expertise in a particular area. So Jesus is saying, who is going to fight a war in which the other army has twice the amount without doing any preparations or asking anybody that has a little bit of knowledge in that area, well, should I do this or not? So in case you don't know, dark and light are colliding. Jesus and Satan are at war. They're having a little battle. And this battle is going to last for a time. And then when it's over, when Jesus finally wins, then we'll spend either eternity with God or we'll spend eternity in hell. And this is why I don't like when people just tell somebody to pray a prayer and then it'll all be over, because we're sending them into a war with a blindfold on. We're putting them into the battlefield with a blindfold on and they can't see what's going on. Because we don't tell them the actual basics of Christianity and that we're actually going to fight and that they're actually going to go through some hard times and that it's not just all going to be sunshine and rainbows the whole time, that we're actually going to have to go through some tests, that there's going to be a little bit of fighting going on, and that hard times are going to come and people are going to leave you and you're going to be like, well, why'd they leave me? Because they're not on the same side as you. Because Jesus' army is on this side, the devil's is on this side, and you're trying to sit here in the middle, so then you're seeing these people over there on the devil's side. And then when they leave to go over there, because you're starting to head this way a bit, because you're finally starting to get serious, then they're gone and you're like, well, where'd they go? We can't be lukewarm, because then we see these people gone and then it hurts us. So then we try to go over here to go find them. And then all of a sudden we've found out that we have lost Jesus and that we're gone now and that we left Jesus and that we abandoned our calling. What should I say next? What's on the notes? I think it's time to move on. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So Jesus is saying to make a decision here, because in the verse before it's saying that they're going to make a war, and now all of a sudden it's saying that they're going to make peace, and it's like, well, I want to fight, but I also want to make peace, and this is what we do. Like, I want to be with Jesus, but I want to be with the devil. I want to be with Jesus, but I want to be with the world. I want to do this, but I want to do that. I want to come to church, but I want to hang out with these unworldly friends. I want to do all this. I want to have the rewards that Jesus gives me, but I want to have the cool little fun that the devil gives me. But it's not actually not that fun. So we have to make a decision on what we're going to do. What is your life going to be? Because there's only two options. And whether you decide that you're not going to choose, then you've already made a choice. We have to make a decision. We have to decide already. Because the middle is just, what did I say last time? Last time I was up here, I talked about how the guy had the vision and he was on the fence. And then the devil told him that he owned the fence. If you're in the middle, the devil owns the middle. God was like, here, you can have the middle. I'll take this side. We have to make a decision. What is your life going to be? What are you going to do? Are you going to follow Jesus? Or are you going to go with the world? Are you going to go this way or are you going to go this way? Because if you're going right or left, you can't just go in the middle. there's no way to go right and go left and make it to your destination. If you don't make it to a destination, God decided if you don't make it to a destination, then you're going with him. If you don't go this way, then you're going with him. If you don't make it all the way this way, then you're going with him. Because I only want the people that actually care. I only want those people that actually made a sacrifice for me. Because God is a fair God. He's not going to give the people that didn't do what these other people did, what God asked them to do, the same reward as the people that didn't do what God asked them to do. He's a fair God. So even though he loves those people and wants them to be with him, he's going to be fair and honor the sacrifice that they made that God asked them to make and not honor their disobedience that these other people made. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. This is the last verse here. And if you remember when Jesus went and he got the disciples that were fishing, he told them, leave everything. Don't go say bye, you know, like Pastor preached last week. Don't go say bye. Don't go do some stuff over here. Leave everything. Everything. Nothing else matters. It's only me. Okay? It doesn't matter what else happens. It doesn't matter if your friends leave you. It doesn't matter if your wife leaves you. It doesn't matter what happens. You got to leave everything. Nothing else matters anymore. Stop going back to the stuff that isn't going to help you. Because sometimes the reason that the things, the people that we want in our lives, when they go missing, it's because God tells them to back off. God is sending them away because he's taking you to a different place, because he's about to take you to the next level. And these people, they're not going to the next level with you because they have not made that decision yet. They're not actually following what God wants them to do. So then when he's trying to take you to the next level, but you're trying to stay down here, and then you're like, well, God, I want to go to the next level, but I want them to come with me. No, they're not going to do that because they're not actually going there yet because they have not made that decision. Stop going back to the stuff that isn't going to help you. Those worldly friends aren't going to help you. They're going to do the exact opposite. All the stuff that you think is going to help you, unless it aligns with God's word, is not going to help you. Stop going back to it. All the stuff that I just mentioned is not options. They are commands. We have to leave everything. Nothing else matters. We have to die to ourselves. What else did I mention? I don't know. It doesn't matter right now. We have to leave everything else behind. Nothing matters anymore. As long as Christ is preached, nothing matters anymore. God is the only thing that matters in my life anymore. He matters above everything else in my life. And he should in yours too. And I'm not bragging on myself here. I promise. God has to be the only thing that matters anymore. And you know, there's a big crowd for Jesus today, but it's not a committed crowd. And I didn't mention the title of my sermon. You might have saw it on the promotion, but the crowd or the committed is my title. Because there's a huge crowd for Jesus. Everybody wants Jesus because Jesus offers all these cool rewards, and they're like, I want to go to heaven because I heard that hell is a little hot. It's like Texas. It's a little hot down there. I don't want to go there. Don't even like Texas that much. Just because my friends are down here. Did you know that 2.2 billion people claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior? They claim Christianity. 2.2 billion people claim that. That's a pretty big crowd. Pretty big. That is 31.5% of the whole world claiming that they're down with Jesus. 64% of Americans are claiming Christians. Yet 20% of Americans attend church weekly. So that's already 44% of Christians in America that don't attend church. So I don't think those 44% are really saved because they're trying to get some extra sleep on Sunday instead of going to church. And then we can probably assume that those 20% aren't, that not all 20% of those people are actually saved. So that numbers, that lowers the number even more. So we can confidently say that at least 44% of the 2.2 billion people claiming to be Christians are not actually Christians. That's almost half. And that's just at least. Because not all the people here that, I mean, not all the people that attend church are actually saved. This institute did a survey and asked churches across the nation, basic Bible teachings can't speak. 70% of American churches did not align with basic Bible teaching. 70%. And it's about to get worse. So that leaves us with 30%. That's 100,000 churches. And only 2% said that they will actually preach these things. 2% of churches don't preach the core basic Bible beliefs, just the basic ones. So not even the little doctrinal disagreements, just the core basic Bible beliefs. And this poll did a little survey. They asked 1,007 claiming Christians, found that only 40% of those actually thought that the Bible is the Word of God. 40% of Christians don't think, well, 40% of this poll didn't think that the Bible is the Word of God. It's crazy. What's happened? It's because we have a crowd, but not a committed crowd. So we need some people that are going to rise up and stand for truth. They're going to fight back. They're going to preach the gospel out of its word. They're going to preach the Bible. We need some people that are going to rise up. And I see a bunch of them in here today. We're on the greatest revival in history, I feel like. Because in case you haven't noticed, the world is getting pretty dark. And God is not just going to let that happen. He's going to respond. Because God is raising up some mighty men and women of God across the world right now. Amen. And they're going to rise up. They're going to be the committed ones that stand up for truth. And I don't want to miss the revival train, man. I don't know about you. Pretty excited. It's going to be great. But this train, the revival train that I'm talking about, is for the committed ones. Because it's not going to be easy, because like I mentioned, the world is getting darker and persecution is getting more and more. And America's going to face that too, I feel like. We're about to have some persecution. It's not just going to be those other countries. We're about to experience some too. It's for the committed ones, the ones that are really about it. We need to be committed. We need to submit to God so we can have the power to endure what's about to happen. Because we're about to face some real persecution. We have to be ready. Have to be ready. Oh, that's about it. Let me go to my last page, my conclusion. In case you didn't know, because it kind of does seem like it, but I'm not perfect.
Just saying.
I'm not. Kind of seemed like it, but not. And nobody who has ever lived is except one. That's Jesus Christ. So I'm not judging you when I'm saying all this, because I am teaching this as someone who has learned it. When you, if you preach, you know that you learn this before you preach it. You have to learn it so that you can preach it. So I'm not judging y'all, because I'm doing the same thing too. I felt the conviction too. I was like, dang, whew, way to humble me, Lord. No one hurt. So remember that when you mess up, the blood of Jesus covers you. You are saved by grace, not by works. Thank God, because you'd all be down there. And God will forgive you if you sin. And this is not like the sinning gospel, in case you're wondering. And just remember, as Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So don't keep sinning. Try your best. And just know that you are covered by grace. And just follow God's word, and that will get you where you need to go.